Previously on We Live Here,
I said, Lord, I don't want to be nowhere where folks don't want black folks.
I got pushed out for what? No reason, you know, trying to protect myself.
Where you see these ordinances is in towns that are struggling with the growing pains of integration.
Hey, it's me, Tim.
And me, Camille.
And if this is your first time listening to our podcast, just go ahead and stop what you're doing.
Stop right now.
Back it up.
One episode.
Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do that, your experience listening to this episode is going to be kind of weird, a little incomplete.
I mean, if we're being honest, you should go back and binge all our shows.
Of course, yeah.
But this time, trust us, listen to the episode right before this one, because otherwise, it's not going to make sense.
That's because in our previous episode, we told you about this very kind of odd thing that's happening here in St. Louis, where some communities are declaring their residents public nuisances and then kicking those people out of their towns.
Yeah, it happened to a woman we met named Rosetta Watson.
I got pushed out for what? No reason, you know, trying to protect myself.
So, Miss Watson moved to Maplewood, which is right on the edge of St. Louis City proper, a few years ago, to escape an abusive boyfriend. But he tracked her down, and then he beat her up, over and over and over again.
This resulted in a handful of calls to police, and then this harrowing, quasi-judicial hearing at Maplewood City Hall.
Why come they didn't tell me I can have a lawyer? No one is telling me, well, you don't have to answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate you. I didn't know what was going on.
And it was at that hearing that town officials determined that Miss Watson's calls to police constituted a public nuisance, and they kicked her out of Maplewood for at least 6 months.
So, at this point, some of you guys may be thinking, is this even legal?
Well, according to the city of Maplewood, it is. In fact, city officials deny that their nuisance ordinance is a problem at all for anyone.
But a lot of people around here aren't so sure, specifically housing lawyers and advocates who say policies like Maplewood's have been weaponized against the poor, against black people, and against those who are battered.
On today's episode, the fight over who and what represents a public nuisance in Maplewood, Missouri continues.
And some say the outcome could be felt beyond the borders of this quiet suburb. From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum.
We should note that while producing this episode, we did reach out to Maplewood for comments on Miss Watson's story, and they declined.
Yeah, in fact, I got an email from the city manager, and it said this. As you are aware, our nuisance ordinance is presently involved in a federal lawsuit. Until that lawsuit is adjudicated, I will not be discussing that lawsuit except with our legal representatives.
But about a year ago, city officials did speak to a former St. Louis Public Radio reporter about concerns over their nuisance law, and we're going to play some of that tape. About a dozen years ago, Maplewood had a problem on its hands.
Complaints were pouring in from residents about spots around town that were disorderly and causing havoc. It was so bad that town officials set up a group to field all these complaints.
And the Problem Properties Committee was created because of complaints that residents were giving to staff.
This is Maplewood City Manager Marty Cochran. He's the guy who sent me the email declining comment.
It's one thing to have high weeds and you cut the grass and the problem's gone. These were other types of problems that residents were complaining about on a repeated basis, and that's how your property got on, quote, at the time, the problem property list.
And a lot of the times, dealing with those properties is the job of a guy named Anthony Traxler. He works for Cochran as assistant city manager, but also has a dual role as director of public works.
And he says those other types of problems his boss was alluding to are in fact quite serious.
There were a couple of kids that were running drugs out of the house, large-scale drug dealings, and they were essentially terrorizing these two households, and they actually had to move out of town. And that's an example where they had pled with the landlord repeatedly to do something about the drug dealing and all the activities going on. They did not, and so we left those units vacant for 6 months.
Officials were able to keep the apartment vacant because of the nuisance law. Remember, it allows the city to revoke occupancy permits for up to 6 months in the case of a public nuisance. So you want a drug dealer out, one way to do that is declare him or her a public nuisance and pull their permit. Presto.
And to be sure, Maplewood's certainly not the first city to come up with this type of solution. Lots of cities across the country, including a lot in the St. Louis region, have these type of laws on the books. Maplewood jumped on the bandwagon back in 2006, though current employees are a little fuzzy about the details from back then.
Craig Biesterfield is the city attorney for Maplewood. He says as best he knows, two former officials, one of who was the police chief, proposed the nuisance ordinance, and they didn't even write it themselves.
This is not language that the city of Maplewood came up with. This is language that is in thousands of ordinances across the country.
Biesterfield's likely right. But again, not every city ties its nuisance law to an occupancy permit.
In fact, if we wanted to go down like a totally different rabbit hole,
completely,
we could talk about, for this show and probably a couple shows after that, this whole idea of an occupancy permit. You have to have a permit to live in this.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
it's a very St. Louis thing. Anyway, if you guys remember from part one, critics of nuisance laws like Maplewood say it hurts victims of domestic violence since calls for help count against them.
Now, according to Biesterfield, the city attorney for Maplewood, they have never used their nuisance law against a victim of domestic abuse.
We have enforced that provision against persons who are perpetrators of domestic abuse, and sometimes those perpetrators are male, and sometimes those perpetrators are female. But, you know, nobody has requested us to amend our ordinance to make some carve out for victims of domestic abuse. I can't imagine that the city would have a problem with something like that. But we also don't believe that we've ever enforced a nuisance proceeding against a victim of domestic abuse who was not, in fact, a perpetrator.
And this is one of the major sticking points in Ms. Watson's story, because sometimes when she called police, officers took her abuser to jail. Other times, she was put behind bars.
Regardless, it was a harrowing, traumatic time, compounded by the city's official actions against her. Ms. Watson says she was baffled by the process. Here's how she described it in our last episode.
So I got a knock at my door and the police officer delivered a yellow envelope to me saying that I have to go before the board or whatever it is. And for what reason, I don't know. But I didn't know I can have a lawyer present. You know, I'm surrounded just like we are sitting now. I'm sitting here. I'm surrounded by all these people. I'm thinking, you got lawyers. You got the people's, the committee, the boards, you got the police officers, you got the judge sitting at the table. I'm sitting in, you know, out there, but I didn't know that they was punishing me 6 months. It's just like being in prison, 6 months. I can't come back, can't shop out there. Even and I have doctors, I have an eye doctor that I see out there. I couldn't come back out there to see Clarkson Eye Vision Center because I'm banded and barred from Maplewood for 6 months. Come on now, where they get that at? I couldn't do anything.
In a lawsuit filed about a year ago in federal court, Ms. Watson claims her constitutional rights have been violated. She also argues that Maplewood's ordinance goes against the Violence Against Women Act and Missouri State Constitution.
The lawsuit says Maplewood's ordinance tramples on the rights of victims of domestic violence and, quote, increases victims' vulnerability to both homelessness and future violence by chilling their right to seek police assistance and banishing them from their homes in the entire city when they seek aid.
Don't call the police. All I know, better not call the police when you're living out there in Maplewood. If you do, you're going to get put out of Maplewood. And that's the honest God truth.
Again, city officials refused to discuss Ms. Watson's case directly with Tim and I. But Craig Biesterfield, the city attorney, defended the city's nuisance law in an interview a year ago with St. Louis Public Radio. And he says there's plenty of due process in their system.
I mean, that's really the point of having the hearing and allowing the property owner or the occupant or whoever it is to, you know, present their side of the story, and they can cross-examine the witnesses that are coming in and testifying to the problems to dispute whether those problems really existed. And at the end of the day, if the evidence goes against them, they still have the right to appeal that to the courts. I mean, there's nothing that we do that's final. Everybody always has the right to appeal any city action to the courts. And that has happened on occasion. You know, we never lost one of those cases in court, but there have been occasions where the property owner has disputed what the city's conclusion was and appealed it to the St. Louis County Circuit Court.
Easterfield says nuisance problems are decided on a case-by-case basis. And he says officials do use discretion.
Sometimes we believe, the city official believes, that a nuisance existed, but the property owner has offered to do things that would, from the city's perspective, eliminate the problems for the neighborhood and for the people that complained. And so they will, you know, they'll issue the findings, but they'll basically suspend any revocation of the occupancy permit pending compliance with those agreements by the property owner.
Maplewood officials haven't given any indication they're interested in abandoning their nuisance ordinance or uncoupling it from their occupancy permits. In fact, they say this has worked great.
Well, I mean, I think it's been a very effective tool for the city to have safe, stable neighborhoods that, you know, that aren't creating problems for people that live here.
So, who's right?
This fall, a judge is scheduled to answer that question.
Maplewood isn't just facing allegations about Ms. Watson. Housing and legal advocates are going after the systemic nature of the tiny suburb's nuisance practices. Around the same time Ms. Watson filed her case, another advocacy group, the Metropolitan St. Louis Equal Housing and Opportunity Council, which sometimes go by EHOC, sued Maplewood.
And EHOC argued that despite Maplewood's claims about discretion, its ordinance disproportionately affected people of color and domestic violence victims.
Here are some of the numbers. EHOC went back through records kept by Maplewood for 43 nuisance enforcement hearings from 2010 to 2015. It found that at least 40% of the complaints were about Black households, even though Black people make up just 17% of the city's population. The suit also alleged many who lost their occupancy permits were, like Ms. Watson, Black women who had been victims of domestic abuse. They found many others who had suffered from mental illness.
Earlier this year, a judge dismissed EHOC's case. Now, all eyes are on Ms. Watson's case.
This lawsuit is about, you know, about her rights and righting that wrong.
This is Tony Rothert. He's Ms. Watson's attorney.
I am the legal director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Missouri.
And he says what's at stake is bigger than Ms. Watson's case alone.
Trying to get a change to Maplewood's ordinance or how it's enforced and to prevent it from happening again to someone else.
Even if you can challenge a decision in the circuit court, Rothert says it wouldn't necessarily help someone like Ms. Watson, who has limited resources to hire an attorney to help her navigate what can be a confusing process.
And our real concern is the people who are victims of domestic violence but never call the police because they don't want to wind up kicked out of their house by their city.
Rothert says nuisance ordinance first came on his radar about 10 years ago when he heard about the practice and the harm it could cause to vulnerable victims at a law conference.
There's also not a great way to track this, at least not in Maplewood or other parts of the St. Louis region. There's no set schedule for when cases are heard. There's no database that someone could search to see who and why people have been cited.
It's pretty much up to the city to divulge that information or for someone like Ms. Watson to speak out and hope people listen.
We believe this policy is both dumb and unconstitutional.
And how?
So one way is in that it interferes with Miss Watson and other people situated like her, their ability to choose where to live through no fault of her own. I mean, they would say it's her fault because she called the police, but she called the police because she was a victim of crime. And so it's effectively penalizing and taking away her right to travel and her right to live where she wants to live in this country because she has been a victim of domestic violence. It's also, it doesn't provide sufficient due process. I think that if even the city of Maplewood, maybe if they would have been a more robust process before they took away people's occupancy permits, maybe someone would have thought, oh, hey, we're really punishing a victim here. Maybe that's not the best thing.
The two sides will likely go to mediation this summer. And if nothing changes, a trial is set for November.
Every lawsuit we file, I think, well, clearly they should just correct their ways now that we've pointed it out. And you know, it happens 25% of the time, but usually not.
The city has been eager to defend itself, and that makes Rother and other local housing advocates believe there could be more Miss Watsons out there.
If they weren't doing it anymore, they could just change the ordinance to conform to what they're doing and make the lawsuits go away. So that all makes me think that it's still going on, but we don't really have a grasp on the severity of the problem. This really is a problem that Maplewood could solve, and if the citizens of Maplewood spoke to their elected officials, I think they would solve it. But I'm always hopeful that we're going to reach a resolution with cities, especially in a case like this where it's really harming people's lives in ways that I don't think the city even envisioned or intended. You just hope that when they see and hear the harm that they're causing to people, that they reevaluate. You know, our area has a rich history of discriminating in housing and using housing as a way to separate and oppress. So. This is a piece of that. This is a new generation of that, these nuisance ordinances. And just like it's ultimately, it's either going to take a change of heart or it's going to take a court decision to get rid of this type of law, which will probably be replaced.
Well, that's depressing.
It is, but it's also the truth. So we're going to do something on this show this season that we've never done before. We're going to stick with one topic that touches all the other stuff we talk about on this show.
Yeah, that's actually the reason why we brought you Miss Watson's story first.
We're going to take the entire year and basically do one big biopsy on race, class, and housing in St. Louis. And you might be thinking to yourself, if you're listening to this somewhere other than St. Louis, well, why would I care? Because the forces and the things behind the way St. Louis looks today are almost certainly, if you live in America, the same forces that are shaping the town you live in.
I think you said that pretty well.
Thanks.
So guys, we hope you enjoy season 4 of We Live Here. We're excited. We got some great stories coming up.
Next time on We Live Here.
Striking down racially restrictive covenants in Shelley versus Kramer, there's a history of housing cases that come out of St. Louis.
We sat one court away from the U.S. Supreme Court. I doubt they would ever look at this, but the way this case has gone, who knows?
Ms. Johnson has the right to address the fact that she remained in a home that had a collapsed ceiling amongst the only bathroom in the home that would hardly be habitable for any of us in this courtroom today.
We Live Here is produced by me, Camille Stanley.
And me, Tim Lloyd. Alana Sistrunk is our associate producer.
And Robert Peterson is our boss.
Yeah, he's a program director at St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, This is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.